Good morning. My morning. My name is Lourdes, and I'll be your assistant throughout the conference today. I would like to welcome you all to the conference of first quarter 2014 results of the Grupo Argos. All lines have been muted to avoid any background noise. After the speaker's comments, there will be a question and answer session. If you wish to ask any questions, please press the asterisk key on your phone, followed by number one. Mr. José Alberto Velez, you may start your conference. Good morning to all. First, we apologize for the delay in the conference of the first quarter 2014 results due to a difficulty of the interpreter to reach the place where he will be doing an interpretation. So everything's set now, and we'll be starting. Thank you very much for your participation in this call, where we'll be discussing the results of the Argos Group for the first quarter 2014. I have Ricardo Sierra with me, Financial Vice President Camilo Abello, Vice President of Corporate Affairs, and Nicolas Valencia, Head of Investor Relations at Grupo Argos. In this teleconference, we'll analyze the main financial figures of the report that was sent to you yesterday. And additionally, we will share with you the facts and information and relevant information of the business of Argos Group. At the end of the call, we'll have a space for answering your questions. This teleconference is being translated into English simultaneously. In any case, I remind you that all our communications, as well as the result reports, relevant information, and presentations are published in Spanish and English in our portal for investors at www.grupoargos.com. On this same website, we've made available to you the presentation that will follow during the teleconference. To download it, please go to the section Financial Information, and then in the section Reports, where you will find in first quarter a file called Presentation 1T2014. In the first quarter of the year, we continue with the positive dynamics of 2013 in the different businesses and regions where we invest. We highlight the positive and growing results in all of our strategic lines. Likewise, and ratifying our interest in continuing to be a relevant player in the energy business, we acquired 15,652,473 shares of Celsia. With these, our total participation reaches 52.35%, thus demonstrating the interest in continuing to consolidate this strategic pillar. As to the relevant facts on corporate governance, last March 26th, we had in Medellin the ordinary meeting of the shareholders meeting of Argos Group, with a participation of over 80% of subscribed and paid capital. It approved the choosing of Carlos Ignacio Gallego as new member of the board in replacement of Carlos Enrique Piedraita. It is worth mentioning that in compliance with the corporate governance policies contained in our governance code, all proposals received for considering shareholders were timely disclosed in our website. On the other hand, and being aware of the sustainable growth that seeks balance between economic profitability, social development, and environmental responsibility, during the first quarter of the year, we developed important activities. The Argos Group, along with its subsidiaries Argos and Celsia, we signed the CEO water mandate of the World Pact of the United Nations, a public-private initiative that supports developing companies, implementation, and disclosure of policies and practices of sustainability in relation to water. Argos Group and its companies, Argos and Celsia, is aware that water is a resource that is canned every time and less available in quality and quantity for different uses. Given the use these companies make of this natural resource as main raw material and auxiliary material in its productive processes, we have committed to do it efficiently and responsibly, integrally managing the risks associated to its consumption. It is for this reason that we have focused our efforts in two main axles to promote conservation of this resource in the long term: efficient use of water and management of the hydric resource. In agreement to this, all three companies adhere to the CEO Water mandate to contribute to the vision of the World Pact and the Millennium Development Goals, among which it is a priority to manage the hydric resource. Likewise, we signed with ONU Habitat, United Nations Habitat, an agreement of understanding with the purpose of integrating efforts to promote dialogue with the private sector around the implementation of the new Urban World Agenda, which seek the construction of more inclusive cities, compact and better communicated for its inhabitants, facing the emerging challenges of the urban development process of the cities in the 21st century. Based on these, at Grupo Argos, we will support, from our perspective of social responsibility, the ONU Habitat Program in performance of activities, initiatives, and projects of technical assistance and exchange of knowledge and experiences in all topics related with strategic pillars of said agenda. Urban planning and design, legislation, governance, and soil management, as well as urban economy. Going now to financial results, we continue with a very upward trend and are highlighted in slides number 4 and 9. You can observe the most relevant figures of the consolidated financial statements and the explanatory graphs of the behavior of the income, EBITDA, and net income. Beginning in slide number 4, the first quarter of 2014, the income of Argos Group consolidated manner exceeded 2,000 million pesos, a growth in comparison to 2013 of 15%. The consolidated EBITDA of Grupo Argos totalizes 575,000 million pesos for a 11% growth. On the other hand, the EBITDA margin was at 28%. Consolidated net profit of the company amounted to 121,000 million pesos, increasing 6% in respect to the same period last year. Going to slide number 9, you can see the general balance consolidated at the 2014 March close. The assets amounted to 30,000 million pesos and grew 9% in relation to December 2013. In this same period, liabilities totalized 10.4 billion pesos and equity amounts to 13,000 million pesos, growing by 4%. Before talking about the individual financial results, we remind you that just as with the former reports, along with the results report and the presentation, you have been sent an explanatory detail that seeks to analyze in detail the individual financial statements. The information sent includes an explanation of the income on the first quarter 2014 versus 2013 and explains the dividend and participation accounts, income for participation method, and income for investment sales. On the other hand, in the same document, analyzes operating expenses and the participation method account. All the above with the purpose that you can understand and better understand the most important elements reflected in the individual figures of the company. In slide number 10, you can observe a summary of the individual results statement. In the first quarter 2014, individual income of Argos Group amounted to 226,000 million pesos, growing 50% in relation to the same period last year. However, if you include the extraordinary effect of the income for sale of investments of 1 million shares of the preferred Sura Group shares for 31,000 million, the increase is 29%. Individually, EBITDA reached 150,000 million pesos and grows 11% in relation to the first 3 months of 2013. Next slide, we can see the main figures of the individual general balance of the Argos Group. The individual assets amount to 16.2 billion pesos, growing by 5% in relation to December 2013. Liabilities amount to 2 billion pesos, growing 12%, and liabilities amount to 14.3 billion pesos and reach 4%. Going to the cement business results between slides number 12 and 14. In the first quarter of the year, Argos presented operating figures growing in the markets where it's present, closing the quarter with very positive results. Likewise, it's important to point out the acquisition in French Guiana, taking advantage of financial strength to continue developing the business model, and a multiple over EBITDA of 6.2 times, which makes it an acquisition that generates value for Argos. It is worth mentioning that the results of Cementos Argos for first quarter 2014 included totality of results of the new Honduras operation. Additionally, we consolidated 24 days of results corresponding to the Florida assets. Going to talk about each regional division, in the Colombia division, we continue to observe good market dynamics, especially in the segment of bulk sales. We highlight a growth in sales volume, both of cement and concrete, growing 4% and 13% respectively when compared to the first quarter 2013. In the United States regional division, the market continues to show very positive and clear recovery signs, which is reflected in the results of the division, where an increase in price is highlighted around 8%, both in cement and concrete, and a positive EBITDA of $1.8 million, a 127 increase as compared to the same quarter last year, and thus generating for the first time since 2008 a positive EBITDA in the quarter, which, due to the winter season, has the most marked seasonality of the year. On the other hand, in the Caribbean division, we highlight the two dynamics of the Panamanian market and the positive effect of the consolidation of the Honduras operation in this division. Thus, cement volumes grew by 21% and concrete by 10% in relation to the first quarter 2013, which proves the success of the efforts to improve vertical integration in the division, where we still observe important room for continuing to strengthen our competitive position. As the total figures, Argos commercialized during the first 3 months of the year, 2.4 million of cubic meters of concrete, which shows a growth of 14%, and 2.7 million tons of cement, growing 4% in relation to the same period last year. In this way, Cementos Argos recorded operating expenses, operating income, close to 1.3 billion pesos. When compared to first quarter 2013, the EBITDA margin was at 20% and the net profit was around 80,000 million pesos, growing 52% in respect to the same period last year. Let's now go to the results of the energy business between slides number 15 and 17. Celsia presented a quarter of positive results, where the combination of generation and distribution businesses, as well as hydric and thermal technologies, allowed the organization to maintain the stability of its income, and where we should point out the growth of hydric generation by 30% based on the meteorological conditions of the first 3 months of the year. As to expansion plans, the distribution business made progress on the first quarter of the year in architecture works for medium and low voltage networks and design and social environmental activities of the backup line to Buenaventura at 115 kilowatts. Likewise, in the generation business, the Cucuana project, 655 megawatt, is completing 79% progress in its construction, with a total execution of 250,000 million pesos. In the Bajo Tuluá project, 19.9 megawatts, we reached at the close of first quarter total investments of 136,000 million pesos and a progress of 70%. We expect this plan to initiate commercial operation in fourth quarter 2014. As to the figures, energy generated by the organization during the first quarter 2014 reached 1,739 gigawatt hour, which is equivalent to 11.2% of the total production of the National Interconnected System, SIN. Out of this generation, 64% was hydric, 36% was thermal. Consolidated operating income were 577,000 million pesos, reducing 2% in relation to the income on the last period from the same period last year. The consolidated EBITDA at the close of March was increased by 10%, being close to 231,000 million pesos, the greatest quarterly level recorded in Celsius history, with an EBITDA margin of 40% over former periods due to the greater participation of hydro generation in the organization. The net profit was at 49,000 million pesos, growing by 2% in relation to the first quarter 2013. Let's now go to the results of the real estate business between slides 18 and 20. During the first quarter 2014, Situm continued with the urban development plan in Barranquilla and continued to grow its investment in the line of property for lease. In this period, we obtained the urban development license for the Las Vueltas project, which has a potential of construction of 1,127 housing units and two blocks for commercial use in the fourth stratum or fourth social class. This project is part of the general urban project, 251 hectares starting 2013. Likewise, during the first 3 months of the year, we had bought three plots of land of the Palmas Rio project with a total of 22,511 square meters. All three projects reached a balance point in sales and have initiated construction. Also, we had purchased 7,621 meters in the same project. In this plot of land, we started construction immediately after the deeds were ready, and the sale value was 5,639 million pesos. In the properties line, Situm acquired an important package of business establishments in the Aventura Shopping Center in the city of Medellin. The shopping center will be located in construction and will be located in the heart of the renewed Medellin. Recognized brands are already linked to the commercial establishment, such as Éxito, which will be the anchoring establishment of the shopping mall. Investment in this project amounts to $17 million. As to financial figures, income during the first quarter 2014 were close to 29,000 million pesos, increasing over five times in relation to the reported figures in the same period last year. EBITDA was at 3,922 million pesos, with a 240% increase in relation to the minus 3,439 million pesos of the first quarter 2013. It is important to point out that these figures are of the total real estate business and include all real estate operations of the Argos Group, even if accountably the figures are recorded in several companies. The real estate business is a focus of our attention and investment of resources for this year, and we continue to look into opportunities where we can generate profitable growth for our shareholders. Let's go to the results of the port business between slides number 21 and 24. During first quarter 2014, Compass continues to make progress in its investment plan and consolidation of its operations in Colombia and Houston, United States. In this period, we completed the first 14 kilometers of the access road to the port of Agua Dulce, having 7 kilometers of construction yet pending, which will allow to have, from July, the integral access to the machinery and equipment for development of the project. Likewise, Compass received that made progress and practically ensured financial close of the project. On the other hand, at the Compass facility in Barranquilla, we continue to make progress in construction and coming into operation of the project for storage for 240,000 diesel barrels, which will allow Celsia, energy subsidiary of Argos, to comply to meet reliability requirements. By the end of the first quarter, the progress is over 70%, and we expect that by the end of the second quarter 2014, we will have the first operative test. As financial figures, operating income of Compass during the first quarter 2014 exceeded 31,000 million pesos and grew by 31% in relation to the same period 2013. The variation was generated by the good performance of the export of liquids through Barranquilla and increase of the volumes of coal, which compensated for the reduction we had at the port terminal of Cartagena in containers. With the above, the adjusted accumulated EBITDA reaches 10,000 million Colombian pesos and grows by 81% in relation to the same period last year. Compass has important projects that we expect to consolidate so that we can continue in 2014 with a positive results dynamics. Let's go to the coal business results between slides number 25 and 27. Sator continues to make progress in the restructuring plan. In this quarter, we managed to have important improvements in supply contracts, industrial supply contracts, which should give us better average prices in the remnant of the year. Sold volumes reached 79%, reaching 132,000 tons in the first quarter 2014 in relation to the 74,000 tons of the first quarter 2013. These increases justified since at the beginning of 2013, the mine was not operating. During the first 3 months of the year, operating income reached 16,155 million pesos, which meant a growth of 78% in respect to the same period last year. On the other hand, EBITDA for the first quarter was minus 671 million Colombian pesos, which is over the minus 4,816 Colombian pesos, million Colombian pesos on the first quarter 2013. On slide number 18, you can see the debt profile of Grupo Argos. As at 31st March 2014, the individual debt of Grupo Argos amounted to 943,000 million pesos, and the average cost of the debt closed at 5.6%. Going to slide number 29, you can observe the total consolidated assets of the company, where you can find strategic and portfolio investments, and where you can see the interesting diversification of sectors. Before finalizing this call, we manifest our commitment to continue working sustainably to maintain a positive trend, and we expect to continue answering satisfactorily to the challenges and dynamics of our market. Thanking you again for your participation, we give the floor to the operator to start with the question and answer session. I would like to remind you that in order to ask a question, please press the asterisk key followed by number 1 on the keyboard of your phones. If you want to cancel your question, please press the numeral key. We will have a brief pause to organize the round of questions and answers. First question comes from Mr. Andres Copa from Santander. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Vélez, for the presentation. I have two questions. The first one has to do with the infrastructure plan of the government, specifically the road plan called 4G. What we have seen to this point is that the interest shown for the project is relatively limited, judging from the offers we've received for each of the three projects that are being awarded right now. What is your vision around this situation, and what could you expect the government to do to drive these projects? What impact it could have in terms of the terms for implementation? That's my first question. The second question has to do with the strategy of Grupo Argos on energy. After all, everything that happened with Isagen and what continues to happen with the sale of the company, what is the Grupo Argos strategy for growth in generation in Colombia? If the plan is to increase the number of projects where you will be participating, or you are considering to have further acquisitions, if it is possible. I will answer your first question, and my colleagues might help me complement it. As to the government projects that we call fourth generation on roads, I'm quite optimistic as to what we're working on right now. It's been 4 years of the government of President Santos, where we've had good structuring of these projects. I say this from the point of view of detailed design of the project, and a bidding for these kind of works. We may have taken a little bit longer in structuring, but I think this will be much quicker in construction and development. which did not used to happen in the country before. I won't go into politics. I don't mean about the former government, previous government, but all of them. Many times because of the need for improvisation to take a project into tender, designs are not well made, are not in detail, and therefore they went in in some problems and conflicts. And we had that in most of the great corridors in the country. I'm optimistic about these fourth generation roads, and the president of the association himself has said that they're considering the possibility that in 2015 they could start the physical part of the works. At the time, some of them are making progress already. However, there are firms and consortiums made by Colombian firms and foreign firms, well reputed, that are decided to participate in these tenders, and I think we will be able to award some of these contracts. That as to fourth generation roads. As to the generating strategy, I would say that we did withdraw from the purchase of Isagen because of reasons that we already explained, and it's because according to our calculations and analysis, the base price of the auction for the shares to be acquired through the public offer acquisition system, we did not find for us that it was, we did not find these conditions to be interesting. Given the terms that our profitability rates are structured, we did not consider it good to enter the auction and acquire a part of the company. Profitability was not adjusted to our expectations, and so it would not really generate value. So it was really a clear decision given the financial yield for shareholders than thinking just about making an acquisition of this size and becoming the first player in the generation industry in Colombia. We better leave this to other companies. Therefore, the generation growth we have in two chapters. In Colombia, you know, we've been working with the Porvenir 2 project, which is an important project, over 350 megawatts of installed capacity. It's an extremely important project, and we've been making positive growth. It is a slow project as to the licensing processes, but the project is going well. Second, we are very actively looking into possibilities outside Colombia that would give Celsia very good advantages as to a reduction of the country risk and regulatory risk. Colombia is a stable risk. Its politics, economy are highly stable, and we have an entity at the CREG, which has been 20 years regulating the market. However, I think it's very attractive to think about other countries in the region where we could have investment possibilities. We're strongly working on that, and we expect to be able to announce soon, maybe this year, some positive facts around this issue. Next question comes from Jairo Agudelo of Bancolombia. Thank you very much to all. Thank you for the results. I have two questions. The first one is in reference to the real estate business. You talk about a new negotiation in a package of commercial establishments in the new shopping mall in Medellin. Could you be more specific as to what the purchase was in terms of square meters and when we could expect the startup or the operating start of this new shopping mall? And the second question is around the ports issue. You talk about expansion in the Barranquilla port for use of diesel storage. This new logistics facility would be operating when, and when we could expect the impact on the financial results of this operation. I will give the floor to Ricardo, who has much more updated and concrete data on these questions. Good morning, Jairo. On the real estate business, the package of commercial establishments we bought, it's a balanced package in relation to what the shopping mall is. We don't have the square meters information right now, but we'll get it for you in a couple of minutes. What's important is that our strategy is to consolidate our position in shopping malls in a diversified manner. So we are already have a Villavicencio shopping mall, we have Mallorca, and we have Buenaventura. So that gives us a very interesting position in the leased property sector. The properties we're expecting in these kind of projects are expected to be around 20% for us, taking account an appraisal of zero. So this is quite a value-generating project for the Argos Group. And the commercialization of this part is we have a very interesting thing in Barranquilla, which is we're building a very important liquid terminal for hydrocarbons. Is a few Celsius. If it was out, that will allow the senior receiving its reliability charges, and it's also very important. State of the art, so to speak, in terms of export of liquid. Vessels we have parked, and that has allowed Compass to balance reduction in the container load in the country with liquid exports, and with coal exports in Barranquilla, we're getting very good results, very, very good. So we expect this business to consolidate. We will. That is a first stage on the liquid terminal. And the operators, which are a company called Bravo, are insinuating that it's important to widen this capacity soon. So we'll believe that this load diversification, which has been Compass's strategy, is very positive to achieve diversified and constant results. Perfect, Ricardo. Thank you very much. Yeah, and Jairo, I have the square meters information in Aventura. Around 6,000 square meters. Next question comes from Rafael España of Serfinco. Mr. España, your line is open. We don't have a response from Mr. España's line. Hello? Thank you. My questions were already answered, some of them. I have one remaining question, which is about the Lago Alto project. Could you better explain the three projects where you reached the balance point? What is the rate of each of these projects and operating income expected in future? Rafael, of course, I would have this comment. You know, we have an extension of land in Barranquilla that cover not only the Barranquilla district, but also Puerto Colombia municipality. And these plots of land are important, not for because of their location, but their size. They are 4th, 5th, and 6th social stratums in the city today, and we've designed a master plan that is comprised of three major macro lots. One is Lago Alto, which is around 150 hectares. what we're doing as urban developers is what you call land developers, which is developers of the land. We do urban development as to roads, public services, gas, energy, power, aqueduct, sewage systems, roads, green areas, park areas. And we sell by blocks or lots of land to constructors nationally or worldwide. So when we talk about balance point, is in these construction projects of buildings or houses, it means that they have reached the balance point and are started to be built. It's important for us that when we sell a piece of land, that the construction starts immediately and that they don't become land for other uses. And that are used only for being sold, land that were ours formerly. We are interested in having construction start immediately as the land is sold, because it potentializes the development of other plots of land that we own, and it doesn't become competition to the lots that we have already. Perfect, thank you very much. The cap rate of the Situm project is over 12%, right? No, the cap rate the PIR we're receiving, the cap rates we're obtaining around 9%. And you're not expecting growth in the income? Will it remain constant? Well, we basically have lease amounts, and they will be revised. So depending on the tenant, the contract will vary. Thank you very much. The next question comes from Cristian Fernandez of Ultra Bursátiles. Good morning. I wanted to ask why administration and sales expenses increased so much, around 43%, when seeing the detail in the financial results. Cristina, I'll give the floor to Ricardo. Of course. Let me explain. These are non-recurring charges that arise during the first quarter. It is about payment for appraisal charges on the lots we have, especially in Barranquilla and other cities. There's also an issue of fees around 1,500 million pesos. And there's also a series of administrative expenses that arise and that are adjusted in relation to the payroll we had last year. And the other increase that happens once a year is the payment of what we call variable remuneration, which happens in the first quarter. So if you excluded all of these information, increase ends up being around 15%. So if you exclude all these non-recurring expenses and adjustments to the administrative structure at Grupo Argos, the final increase would be around 15%. Okay, thank you very much. We have no further questions in the English conference and have no further questions in Spanish conference. Do you have any further comments? No, thank you very much, Lourdes. Thank you to all attendees. Thank you for your presence here this morning, and we hope to see you in the next results of the second quarter 2014. Thus, we conclude the conference today. Thank you all for your participation. Have a good day.